And we're going to ask him a few questions, and he might not have the answers. How many answers did you give at the quizzing?
I had 40 questions.
And how many did you miss?
3 or 4.
Oh, that ain't bad.
That's good.
We want to see that thing. Is that real gold?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. How many kids were at that quizzing?
I think over 1,000.
Probably so.
The blue level.
There it was. You see, every district, and by the way, the Pastor John asked me the other day how many districts there were. I don't know. But I got some statistics I want to give you in a little bit. But every district had a team if they were in quizzing, and most likely they were. My kids were in quizzing when I was in the pastorate. They didn't take anything like this. This is great. This is great, Andrew. And you don't know how many quizzing teams there were, huh? Put that thing on. That's important.
No. Yeah. There were multiple teams in each section.
Now, he was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade?
I was in 4th through 6th.
4th through 6th grade. Now, I understand there was about 30,000 people at the district assembly last weekend. And out of that, there were several hundred kids. And we are one of the blessed ones to have a young man go and represent the West Side Church of the Nazarene. Now, how did you get there?
I studied and answered questions.
And you didn't walk.
I rode a plane.
You rode a plane. How did you get on the plane? Somebody buy you a ticket?
Yes.
Who?
Rose.
Who's Rose?
Chevron.
And where did the money come from?
Fundraising.
And?
West Side Church.
Don't you think then you owe a little bit of thank you?
Thank you.
And? Are you going to do it again next year?
No.
Boy, he sure took the wind out of my bag.
It only happens every 4 years.
Oh, every 4 years. But you have quizzing every year.
Yes, but next year I graduate from junior quizzing to teen quizzing.
Good job. You'll be a winner there too. Give him a good hand. Once every 4 years, the Church of the Nazarene has a general assembly. I've been to 4 of them, and I'll tell you, it's a blessed time. It is a great time. You can't possibly imagine the number of people that's really involved in general assemblies. There's pastors, there's laymen, there's just Sunday school teachers. It's a great time. And then you get to meet all your old friends. I took my aunt with me one time, and she said she never wanted to go again with Earl. Every time you turned around, he's talking to somebody else. I get quarterly a little magazine called Holiness Today. And it's available to every Nazarene that pays for it, of course. But I want to just give you a few statistics tonight before we start the service. And by the way, I thought I prepared the sermon twice. I heard we was going to have a PowerPoint tonight. Well, that would take the short sermon from me. But being there's no PowerPoint, I think you're going to get the long one. Okay, a little bit of analysis. These statistics were put together at the end of 2016 because the assembly was just last weekend. Last report was 2,131 decisions made for Christ during that period. There's 691 churches were organized. That's new churches. And by the way, you're not one of them yet. You will be one day, I hope. There was 30,574 churches worldwide. 30,000 Nazarene churches. We're not a small church. We are part of a big church. Okay? There's 139,560 new Nazarene members. That's a good sized group, isn't it? But get this. There's 1,503,872 in average Sunday school or church worship services. See, we're not just a small church. There are 2,471,553 members in 159 different world areas. Sort of makes you feel proud, doesn't it? You're part of it. You are part of it. And will be part of it when you organize and become an organized church. Then your statistics will be in this the next time around. I hope, hope. Anyway, we have also 52 schools with a total enrollment of 51,555 students in our educational department. Isn't that fantastic? Doesn't that make you feel like, boy, I'm part of that? Or if I'm not, I want to be. And as we get organized into a new church, then you'll be one of those statistics.
That's true. And by the way, the Herald of Holiness, or the Holiness, it's what it used to be called, is Holiness Today. Why we believe what we believe is one of these sessions. I'm going to read it myself.
Well, tonight, as you can see, we're going to be taking communion. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we look to Thee with open hearts. We're asking God that You would speak to us individually and collectively. Father, let us be a church that would be totally pleasing in Your sight. Let us be that which You would have us to be and You would want us to be. And let us open our hearts and minds tonight to what really happened when You went to that cross and gave Your life that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Speak to us tonight, we pray, through the Word of God, through the Holy Word, and through the message. Then have Your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take the scripture tonight and start. And I'm looking for Matthew 26, if you've got your scripture with you. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, break it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave it and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Did you get that last part? I'll not drink it again until, Jesus said, I'll drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. That's going to be a wonderful day. That's going to be a great time. Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it." I'm sort of centering my message tonight around those few words. Drink ye all of it. You know, when Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of it," what do you think he really meant? Oh, it wasn't just literally take a cup and take a sip. No. What do you really think he meant? Did he mean that Judas the traitor, Peter the impulsive, Thomas the doubter, all the rest that were to drink of this cup? Did he include you? You know, we are the disciples of today. And when he said, "Drink ye all of it," he was talking to all of his disciples. This word is just as relevant today as it was that day. Drink ye all of it. He's saying, drink the entire contents. Drink from the cup deeply. Drink till the last life-giving drop. Then live. Drink of the cup. Then live. And I'm afraid too often we drink of it. Do we drink deep enough? Do we really go into what he was talking about? Do we get out of communion all that there is in it for us? Come on now. So often it's become a ritual. Well, I'll walk through it. I'll take my cup and I'll take the bread. I'll sit down. What does it mean? Do we drink deeply enough? Do we come to know the full concept of what Christ did for us? Do we even come to the place where, like the little woman that reached out and touched the hem of his garment? That's just so to speak. And the cup is here tonight, and it's full of atonement. And as we partake, I pray that this communion service will be something different. I pray that your soul will be filled and overflowing with what Christ really accomplished for you and I. The cup is here today full of atonement. Take it until it blesses your soul like as never before. You see, Christ really is the host. Christ has filled it at Calvary. We need to drink deeply. This is a blessed supply. This is a fountain like never before. It's a promised fountain, and it's available to all. Not only for you and I, but when Christ went to that cross, or when he was serving his disciples, he gave his life for the sin of the world. And if anyone is spiritual thirsty today, drink deeply from this fountain. It's available. It is as like living water. And then thirst, he says, no more. One can drink deeply at the fountain of living water in this cup. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to take a cup. I think it's important that we really get the seriousness of the message tonight. In this cup, when he went to that cross, he put forgiveness for our soul. Right? He put forgiveness for you and I. He didn't draw back any portion of it. He gave it for forgiveness. He gave us forgiveness. When we drink of the sacred cup tonight, if you haven't came to that place of accepted forgiveness, it's in the cup. He did it for our sins. Really, it's not forgiveness in that little cup, but it's in the shed blood of our Lord and Savior. He's the supplier. Drink till your heart's content. His word is still the same. Drink ye all of it. Remember that your faith can drink at Calvary. Forgiveness can be yours tonight. Paul found it so. To the Ephesians he writes, through the blood of forgiveness of sin, he went to Calvary. Ephesians 1:7. Now forgiveness cost. Not too long ago, I had an accident over on South 6th Street in Patterson. I had a green light. That young lady had a flashing yellow, and she pulled straight in front of me. I never touched the brakes. Didn't have time. I could have said to that young lady, "Oh, forget it. I'll take care of it." No, I would have had to pay for that. But her insurance company helped out a lot. I could have said, "Forget it." When sin is involved, when things happen, someone has to pay. If I had not demanded payment, the act of forgiveness, it would have been expensive to me. Somebody had to pay for the sins of the world. The one that went to Calvary. The one that went to the cross. He paid the price for you and I. But you see, not only did he pay the price, but instead of getting justice against us, anyone or everything in the situation, he let mercy enter in. And the mercy that he gave to you and I stepped in, interceded. Each one of us, the scripture says, has sinned. For all have sinned that will come short of the glory of God. But we had a Savior. We had one that loves us. And he paid the price for us. He forgave us. And the cost was tremendous to him. You see, the penalty he paid was death. But God, loving you and I so infinitely, clothed himself as a man and took our place in death in order that we might retain his wonderful love. Forgiving us, he died. He died for your sins and mine. It's in the cup. He said, "Drink ye all of it and accept the riches of his grace." For I read in Ephesians 7, "In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to his riches of his grace." In this cup tonight, it's not just grape juice. There's regeneration. I know that might be mystical and seem mystical, but in reality, a very simple and what do I got here? Precious truth is what I'm trying to say. There's a precious truth in this situation. For when you drink of this cup, comes new life. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There are two births. There's being born again, there's being born as a human or as an individual. But the second time, so Jesus told him the first birth is necessary for physical birth, but the second is necessary for spiritual life. Just as a baby begins to have life and grow, so does a soul begin to live and have meaning in spiritual being, spiritual birth. Just as certain as there is no life without birth, there is no spiritual life without spiritual birth. Be born again means to be made into a new creature for Christ. It means that life has been renewed, and in that cup, when Christ went to Calvary and gave himself for you and I, he gave us the opportunity for new life. We no longer do evil. It means also there are things we once loved, we now hate. And once hated, now loved. Instead of doing evil, now we do good. No longer be disobedient, but obedient. No longer will be sinful, but pure of heart and holy. Have you been renewed? Regeneration means that our affections are renewed, that the things that once were attractive now have no attraction for us. To be born again means the conscience is regenerated. Now, there's no way one can do that on your own. No, it takes help. It's an act of God, purchased at Calvary, prepared the soul, and God will do the rest. Let's drink deeply tonight. The benefits of being born again are blessed. He said, drink ye all of it. Well, there's regeneration is in the cup of communion. So often I think we just say, oh, it's just a ritual. I don't want you to think about it anymore as a ritual. When you take communion, folks, look at what's happened to make you where you're at today in Christ. In this cup, the sacrament, which you will soon hold, is your redemption. The word says we have redemption through the blood, 1 Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Wow. To be redeemed means to be ransomed. It means to be rescued from captivity. You see, Christ paid the price. He redeemed us. He ransomed us. When Satan captured the human race at the fall of the Garden of Eden, God took over, created man. He rescued us by sending him, his only begotten Son. His Son paid for your redemption and repaid your ransom at Calvary. The King of Kings, the King of the Jews came, paid the price with his life. And Peter said it this way, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. We're purchased out of the slave market of sin and lifted to the glories of heaven. Hey, let's go back again. Jesus said, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What a day that's going to be. What a time of rejoicing and celebrating when we sit down with Jesus, the Son of God, who redeemed you and I, and take communion with him. So often we read the scriptures and we overlook that very blessed part. He said, drink ye all of it. Drink deeply. Be redeemed, that your redemption price has been paid in full, and that you can be free by simply having faith in him. Well, there's another step that I'd like to put into this little glass. We as Nazarenes call it sanctification. It's in the cup. And some don't drink deeply enough to enjoy what all that Christ has done for us. To enjoy the full meaning of it. But thank God there's many that do. I cannot tell you how, but I can tell you now. I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ suffered for me, and I accepted it and had my sins forgiven, and then went on to work and follow through and let the Spirit of God sanctify me through and through. The scripture says that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered out without the gate. Hebrews 13:12. In this atonement, the symbol of which we hold in this cup today is to be found in the cleansing of the body of sin. The word says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another and through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the one that cleanses from all sin. John 1:7. Sanctification does not make you perfect, as Adam was perfect. It does not make you perfect as the angels are perfect. It does not make you perfect as God is perfect. It does not free you from temptation, no. It does not take away your feelings and make you less than human, no. It does not make you so good that you can never sin, or so holy that you are never tempted, oh no. But it does take away the sinful desire, the sinful nature, one that causes evil. That which causes evil is eradicated. The sin principles, which is the root of sinful nature and sinful life. It does enable the possessed one to live a life with complete and full consecration to God, and live it hour by hour and moment by moment and day by day. This life is a life of faith. Oh, there will be some battles you'll have to fight, yes. But they'll be won too. Trials will come, but they will be overcome, absolutely. There's no need for an up and down sort of Christian life, no. We are made free from sin and become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. That's sanctification. Now, the victory of holiness is in the cup. You see, when Christ went to the cross and he died for your sins and mine, and he let his blood flow freely, he said, drink ye deeply. Drink ye all of it. There's just a lot in communion that we overlook. We just sort of take it for granted, I'm afraid. But think of what Christ did for you and for me. There's victory in this cup. Drink deeply. It's there. Jesus provided it with his own blood. Drink by faith. Now with full and complete consecration in the joys of deliverance is yours. Drink ye all of it. If God was so willing to pay so much for our salvation, doesn't it mean that we have the perfect right to be assured of his wonderful love life today? Today we are sure that we can say, yes, I love him. Remember, the price was paid. And that little cup, that grape juice that is in there, represents his blood. It symbolizes it. And Jesus told his disciples, drink ye all of it. Drink it till your heart's content. You see, in taking communion, it don't just stop here. When you leave here tonight, that compassion that he put upon your soul goes with you out through the week, through the days ahead. Now, drinking all of this cup, we'll find that we have continued access to God. And this is the central meaning of communion. God has offered you and I a living way by which we can approach him daily. You don't have to go through a high priest. You don't have to go through Father so-and-so. You have direct communion with the Lord and Savior now. You don't even have to dial a number. You don't even have to tell your son, call Jesus. Not a bad idea. But because he did so much for you and I, he's available. You know, when Christ went to the cross, he made the final and complete sacrifice for the human race. Blood was shed so that the human hungry hearts of all might be totally satisfied. He didn't leave anything out. His body was torn so that you and I could be delivered from all sin. Today you have access to God the Father. Jesus, our eternal high priest himself, went boldly to the cross and made a place for each one of us. And he told his disciples, drink ye all of it. Let us stand. Father, this evening we want to just thank you. We want to thank you in a new and different way. We want to thank you from the depths of our souls, for the extent of our minds, from the very radiance of love from our hearts, for all that you've done for us when you said, drink ye all of it, and gave us the cup, the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like you tonight to come and take of the elements. And then we will hold them together as a family. We will drink ye all of it. Come as you please. Help yourself. Never. they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body. Let us eat together." Now I'd like you to stand and take your cup as Kathy and Dan sings the chorus again. Hold it high to the Lord. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let us drink together. And now may the very Spirit of Jesus, to which we have partaken this evening, go with us through the days ahead and keep us ever in the center of your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.